I don't slant stories for a given market. I just let the characters go ahead and do whatever seems right for them. After the thing is finished, of course, I squint at it and decide which magazine would be the most likely victim. When I tore the last page of Blood Sisters out of the typewriter, I ran into the living room chortling and said, "By God, I've written a Playboy story." My wife read it and agreed, so we bundled it off to the Big Bunny in Chicago. It came back with unseemly haste, with a note saying that it hadn't been read. Playboy was no longer looking at unsolicited manuscripts. That's a euphemism that may need clarifying. No unsolicited manuscripts doesn't mean that when the editor needs a story, she picks up the phone and says, "Hello, Norman, how about a long story about sex in ancient Egypt?" No, a solicited manuscript is any story that comes from someone who has previously published in the magazine or who is represented by an approved agent. My agent doesn't normally handle short stories for me, since 10% of what a science fiction magazine pays would hardly cover the postage expenses. The Big Bunny has big money, though, so I called him up. And that's where it gets weird. Before I could get around to the topic, he said that Playboy had called last week and asked whether I might do a story for them. That was probably while Blood Sisters was being railroaded through the mailroom. So I sent it through my agent, and they bought it. For one glorious month, there I was, 1/64th of an inch away from a naked playmate. Alas, probably as close as I'll ever get. They never asked me to any of those wild parties at the mansion. The story that follows has nothing in common with Blood Sisters other than the similarity in titles and light intent, and the volumes of typo sloshed about. It's a sword and sorcery tale, which is a genre I thought I would never invade. Conan and his relatives put me to sleep. It all started at a science fiction convention, a locale where many of us lose our bearings temporarily. Robert Asprin collared me and said he wanted to do a collection called Thieves' World, where a dozen or so writers would make up stories with a common background and setting. We would all be in on the synthesis of this imaginary world. We would have each other's characters doing walk-ons and so forth, and the thing would be of high literary quality, as well as being a great gripping page-turner. I was somewhere between dubious and lukewarm about the project, but I do like to tackle new things, and some of the names Bob dropped were names to conjure with, like Carolyn Cherry and John Bruner. Good company. So I agreed to look at it, and even went so far as to type up a sketch of One Thumb, the tavern keeper who would be my main character. It was One Thumb's personality that finally hooked me. Most of the villains in my stories, when the stories have villains, are not truly evil. They are misunderstood, or they misunderstand the situation, or they are caught in a system that forces them to do harm. The usual moral furniture of secular determinism. Here I had a chance to write about someone who was simply evil. He knows what he's doing is wrong, and enjoys doing it because it's wrong. Wealthy from his misdeeds, he'd still cross the street to steal a penny from a blind man's cup. It would be nice to be able to say that I learned something significant about the nature of good and evil by writing this tale. I didn't. I cackled audibly all the way through it.